Hello, and you're listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR 8:55 AM, and the time is currently 7:26 AM. If you, for whatever reason, aren't looking at your phone, which you might be under this capitalist nightmare, no, hopefully not. So we now bring you a bit of an exciting interview with an artist and refugee rights activist and all around delightful person, Mariota, who is in the studio with us and is actually co-presenting, which has been just awesome. Mm-hmm. So welcome, Mariota, even though you're already here. Hello.
We're introducing Mariota the artist.
Yes, I put on my artist hat now.
Yeah, get out the beret and the art smock and the paint splattered clothes. So did you want to tell us just a little bit about yourself and what brought you into art and what brought you into activism and combining those two things? We'd love to hear about that.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me on. My name is Mariota Spence. I'm an artist originally from Scotland. I'm half Australian. My mum's from here, so I have family here, and I moved over here about a year and a half ago. I've always made art, and you know, growing up in Scotland, there was a pretty nice current of socialist values that went through my education, I can't remember a time where I was not political or not concerned with injustice of society, finding that art was a way to express that.
Yeah, beautiful. That's wonderful. And what sort of mediums do you like to use?
I'm a painter and a drafts person. I do drawings and paintings, combination of figurative and abstract, with stories and narratives, and sometimes not stories, just feelings and ideas.
Yeah, beautiful. That's fantastic. And what do you reckon the role of art is in the fight against capitalism, in the fight for a better world?
Well, art can really take any role, and it can take any side. If we look historically at why art was created, often art really reflects and comes from the establishment and power in society. So if we look at historical religious art, the artist was seen as the person who could channel the messages of God through their painting, in times of kings, artists were also employed to paint portraits and decorate palaces, and so they were closely associated with power in that way. There are many different perspectives of looking at world art historically, and there is a long history of art as protest or art as kind of anti-establishment as well. If we look pretty recent, if I kind of jump ahead a bit, we look at art as satire. William Hogarth in the 18th century in England first had success as a sort of establishment artist, but then went on to make some really important satirical art. In the 20th century as well, artists played an important role in supporting various revolutionary movements throughout the century. One of my favourites, Diego Rivera, was a great Marxist Mexican artist who painted murals. Famously, he had a mural that was showing Trotsky, Engels, and Marx, and in the States, and he was demanded to paint out these figures, but he refused to, and the whole mural was painted over.
Wow, what an act of resistance! That's awesome.
Well, it's a shame because his paintings were really beautiful. Yeah. It would have been nice to still have them, but it's good to stand up for your cause.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's pretty wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd just like to quickly ask as well, throw a little spanner in the work here, asking about, you bill yourself as an anti-capitalist artist. So, when we look at art, as with all things, because I think we have to consider art within the totality of society, not as this thing that sits over there, totally autonomous and bereft of all sort of material and social basis of it. As with all things, then, there exist tensions and contradictions inherent and ironically, you know, with art, it can become, it is this force of liberation and, you know, sparking the imagination, but it is also one of the most effective mediums of domination. And in modernity, just like everything else, art does become a commodity on the free market. And therefore, it shares the same fate as the people who, you know, artists, they share the same fate as people who sort of gain freedom from direct coercive domination by a feudal landlord, et cetera, et cetera. Artists are no real different in a sense in the way they're exploited than anybody else in a capitalist society. And, you know, art still has this bit of a social function of inculcating values, and you know, whether or not these are values that challenge the status quo or whether or not they sort of reinforce it, you know, they sort of carry dual meanings, in the sense that they have this autonomous value where, you know, they have this meaning, whether it's very personal or a socially imputed meaning, or and they have their social value as bearers of commodities. So I'd like you to tell me a little bit about how you sort of deal with, you know, this contradiction that runs through art as an anti-capitalist artist.
Absolutely. It can be very contradictory to try to be an artist who criticizes the status quo, because art and art collecting is closely associated with the status quo. And with the wealthy and with the establishment, particularly as a painter, I would say that in terms of mediums, if you're an artist who creates performances or artist who creates live events, that's more inherently anti-capitalist, because it cannot be those events are, or at least are much harder to commodify. As I mean, my creative impulses are in painting and image making, and it can be really tricky to try and claim that you're saying or doing anything which is against capitalism or is against the political systems we live under, because the artwork's life as a commodity is generally as a luxury product or a product to be bought by the wealthy. And this really, really bothered me for years. And while I was at art school, because my impulses were always to create images that expressed problems with capitalism or that tell stories of injustice in some way, it felt, but now it's a luxury product. How can that work? And I suppose the resolution that I've come to is that capitalism shouldn't be allowed to own, and it cannot own the act of, like, it cannot own images, and it cannot own how images can affect us, can open our imaginations, can tell stories. And I mean, the truth is that art has multiple lives, as if it's on show that and it's free to the public, then it has a life in that respect. And then it can also have a life as a commodity. And I'm sure if you're like as socialist activists, you've often heard claims that you're behaving in a contradictory way, say by buying something or having a job in a business. When in fact, like, we have to live under, we are made to live under capitalism, and we do have to collaborate with it in some way. And there are ways in which people take that and then do not resist whatsoever. They think, oh, well, this is a system. I may as well win under capitalism. Mm. In terms of having an art practice where I try to, for example, create narratives which look at historical events, or that look at kind of powerful visual symbols that express in images better than words can concepts about current news events. I think it's important that image making isn't owned by capitalists and capitalism.
Yeah, I think sort of what I'm hearing as well you speak to is actually kind of like an approach to recuperating what art can be. You know, at least since the emergence of neoliberalism in the 60s and 70s, there have been these two sort of competing or counterposed trends in terms of left analysis that are often posed in contradiction with each other. However, I think we should actually take them more holistically as both being vital elements within a dialectical, just to show I'm anti-capitalism, unity. Yeah. So on the one hand, you know, we have what's called the social critique, which is this sort of hard nose look at things like, domination, economic exploitation, and things like that. And then we have the artistic critique, which really deals with things like alienation, spontaneity, freedom, and what happens to sort of human spirits as it's dominated by a system like capitalism that reduces so much of human spirit and society into, you know, instrumental reasoning and work, and really sort of irons out so many of the wonderful human potentialities that we are capable of, not just as this abstract species, but in the type of society that truly allows the flourishment of, you know, rich imagination. And so I think through art, you know, not just art, also through our technologies and social institutions and so forth, but importantly also through art, humanity is constantly remaking itself and developing our ability, our consciousness, our ability to make choices, our notions of what freedom are. But as we've also sort of touched on, it can play the opposite role. I don't think art is going to be either good or bad, liberatory or oppressive and repressive. I'm just wondering maybe if you can speak a little bit about what art can be, good and bad, and what you think it should and ought to be, and maybe if you have some examples of this as well.
Yeah, sure.
Load you up there.
Well, I've mentioned a little bit some of these historical examples of art simply reflecting the power structures that are, and artists cozying up to kings and queens and capitalists. As well as some examples of art as political resistance. Looking at art today in this late capitalist time, as an image maker, it can feel, it often feels as if art is the something that's fun for privileged people to engage with and to buy. And the potentially powerful role of art to activate people's imagination, to help them to imagine a different society as possible, to raise awareness of injustice, to connect people. That role, even though it's often spoken about in these sort of upper echelons, it's often simply not, people don't, I don't believe that institutions, whether that's galleries or galleries or other institutions, try hard enough to make art really accessible to working classes, to immigrant populations. It's too often associated with luxury and high culture, and I think it's really important that more be done to make art a powerful social force.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Mario. And yeah, you put that so beautifully. I think Yeah, and there's so it's so interesting as well, isn't it, in terms of art making too. Like I'm just sort of reflecting on my own life, the work that I do, and like just that, you know, so many people sort of discount themselves. A lot of working class people discount themselves as not able to engage, not able to produce art, and they just kind of write themselves off, even though they'll listen to music, and you know, they might be a big fan of, you know, music and whatnot. But yeah, it's yeah, there's that real role for art to be so transformative and also help us to envision new worlds, like you were saying. And it can be both dystopian and utopian, but it can help us work towards a better world, I think. And yeah, would you like to tell us a little bit about your current exhibition that you've got happening? It sounds, really exciting.
Yeah, thanks. Next week, as of next Thursday, I have an exhibition called Sleeping Through at One Star Gallery at 301 Victoria Street, North Melbourne. It's a series of works on paper, paintings and drawings about childhood and seeing and thinking about images of destruction and worrying. It's essentially about worrying about children and thinking about children's experience across the world over the last couple of years. When we talk about war and policies and history, it's often we find ourselves in political conversation either justifying violence or minimizing violence against one people's or another, and it's while a lot of people are actually mobilized by having seen so many images of violence against children in Gaza, in Sudan, there's violence against children in Australia, really all over the world, children are very, very often the victims of ideology and imperialism. Speaking about it in a using words to discuss conflicts and find ways through them is important, but I find that visualizing the feeling of concern for children, the feeling of remembering what it's like to feel afraid as a child, is I find a helpful way of bringing to like the center of focus the inarguable injustice of a child victimization of war.
Yeah, I can imagine. And like in terms of like you know, being able to engage with that emotionally, and like sometimes it's art has this really powerful way of getting us past the cognitive and into the emotional. And I'm wondering, like, when you're creating these works, like, how do you really try and invoke those emotions in yourself? Is there a particular process that you go through?
I suppose there's a degree of trying to relate to children in remembering the feeling of that extreme feeling of fear as a child, even when it's something small, even when it's like, oh, I'm about to get into trouble, or oh, there's this really terrifying teacher who really shouldn't be allowed to teach in Scotland, but somehow she is. She's telling me off again. There's like the very it's very easy to remember feeling of being afraid as a child, and then understanding that in situations of war and conflict, like how much greater that will be. Yeah. So trying to give like children's feelings center stage as much as, and it's really they're in the act of trying to relate, mm-hmm. rather than claiming that I know what it's like.
Yeah, and that's so critical, isn't it? And so, yeah, just powerful to be able to, yeah, kind of communicate the feelings of children and their experiences of war and conflict and oppression. Thank you so much, Mariota, for chatting with us about your exhibition. Did you want to give us the details of that just once more for our listeners?
Yeah, sure. Thanks so much for your questions and for the time to talk about it. So that's the exhibition. It's called Sleeping Through, and it starts on January 30 at One Star Gallery, 301 Victoria Street, North Melbourne.
Thank you so much, particularly for your discussion about the importance of form in sort of getting, you know, creating a way for us to resonate ethically, epistemologically and socially to art. For listeners, remember that's One Star Gallery, 31st of January. Look out for Cruising, Snoozing or Sleeping Through by Mariota Spence.